Welcome to Vision Destiny 2019. This is the annual series that we do, sharing what God said in 2018. I'm going to look at to review some of the key things that were taking place in 2018, share some of my journals and some of the things God said in 2018, what God did, visions and things that I experienced in 2018, and what does that mean for 2019? Is there anything we can deduce and discern for what God is saying and individually, corporately for 2019? So what heavenly season are we in now? It's important to know heaven functions on seasons and cycles. What season are we in? What is God doing? How are we to cooperate and to enter into that? So what has God said for 2019? What does God want us to do in 2019, individually, corporately? Where does God want us to go in 2019? These are all key questions to cover and to answer. And I'm going to be sharing some things which God has shown me during last year to help us set the direction for this year. Now, I share this every time I speak. Please do not believe anything I say just because I say it. If you resonate with anything I say in your spirit, or if you object strongly to anything I share, take it back to God and openly ask Him to give you direct revelation for yourself. Don't assume that I'm right. Don't assume that I'm wrong. Go and engage God for yourself. That is where you're going to find real, true revelation from Him. I can only share information about my revelation that has come through my personal encounters and my personal experiences. For that to become revelation for you, you need to experience it for yourself. But you do need to be open and to allow God to unveil and reveal things which may even challenge what you believe, your doctrines and theology. Only by engaging God for yourselves can you receive revelation, not information. We all need to know the truth. And to know is by personal experience, not intellectual understanding. And the truth in reality is a person, Jesus, who is the truth, and the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to reveal the things that Jesus is unveiling from the Father's heart to us. Love is the highest governing principle of all creation because God is love. Therefore, when debating truth, biblical hermeneutics, love should still be the highest governing principle in Bible interpretation. And many people use various tools to interpret the Bible, and that includes their own preconceived ideas and confirmational bias. But love, I believe, is the key. And if we focus on love, then our understanding of what God has said and what God is saying to us will be interpreted correctly. Love keeps no record of wrongs, and neither should we. So let's not fall out over some of the different things that people are saying and doing. Let's make sure we honor one another, love one another, and keep no record of wrongs. God is love. This is vital truth. That truth must be the rule for all Bible interpretation, in my view. Bible interpretation should deepen our appreciation and experience of God's love. If it doesn't, then we're not interpreting it correctly. Any Bible interpretations that lessen or diminish God as love must be inherently and fundamentally flawed. The use of love as our hermeneutical tool will lead to a deeper understanding of the very nature and essence and character of I Am, the very name of God, by revealing love as God's intrinsic glory. The very nature, His essence, is love. Everything He does is motivated by love. Everything He does is an expression of love. Therefore, when we see what He's doing, we must see through that filter of love. Making love conditional reveals a critical, judgmental quality that makes love based on obedience. That is what most evangelicals have been taught, and many other streams of Christian faith has made love conditional on obedience. Using this truth, it is easier to decide which doctrinal truths, theological positions are aligned with God's love and those that are made deceptions of the religious mindset. In biblical hermeneutics, how the Father's love is interpreted will determine the value of that interpretation. If it's not unconditional love, it's not me. This is what God said to me. If it's not unconditional love, it's not me. So love based on conditions is not a representation of the Father. If it is love, it is me, and love must be unconditional and otherly, in other words, directed towards others. Otherwise, it's not love at all. So it's really important that we embrace that love is the key. As we're looking at what God is saying in 2019 and beyond, love is the central aspect of that. And unveiling love is the key so that people will experience the true nature of who God is, not filtered through these religious biased views of God. So old covenant versus new covenant thinking is really important when you're looking at love and the nature and character of God. Old covenant love, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, Matthew 22:37, is old covenant. Why do I say that? Because it's conditional. This is a statement of obligation, not loving desire. Love that doesn't come out of desire is not love at all. So many of the things that were quoted by Jesus were quoted to the people of his day who were living under the old covenant. And this was a direct quote from Deuteronomy based under the law. Loving God is not the greatest thing you can do. That was the greatest commandment under the law. You'll only end up frustrated, condemned, trying to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind because it's a legalistic approach. The law was a ministry of death and condemnation. We are under grace, not the law. New covenant, we love because he first loved us, 1 John 4:19. When we focus on his love for us and grow in our understanding of that, then love for him will naturally, effortlessly swell up in us. Not because we're obligated, but because we desire out of the experience that we have. When we live loved, it will totally change our perspective of loving others. The starting point is the love of God for you. Out of that love, you will be able to love him, yourself, and others. Robin Smith. The delusion of still being under the law has kept God's children in bondage. And although we've been set free, the law is now obsolete. The law is summed up. All the law and the prophets are summed up in loving and loving unconditionally. Then we'll realize that much of what we have been taught in the Christian religion, and it is become a religion, has kept us from relationship. True, unconditional, loving relationship with God himself. God is love. It's his nature. It's who he is. He can't be anything or anyone else. He's not part love and part something else. He's all love for all, and everything he does flows out of love. God is not insisting or requiring that you love him. His love is unconditional. He loves you regardless if you ever love him back. He loves the world regardless of how many of them love him back. That is the basis of grace and mercy. It's unconditionally given. If ever its conditions are put on it, then those conditions are leading us back into the bondage of religion. We can only hear what we are willing and ready to hear. Some are neither because of the real cost of the implications of that message. Chuck Crisco. So when God starts to speak to us, are we ready to hear what he's saying? Are we willing to hear what he's saying, even if that challenges and changes the very things that we believe? The implications of hearing what God is truly saying because of who he really is, love, will inherently change us. What God is revealing about himself and love is challenging to the old religious mindsets. Be willing to be challenged. Have that willingness and desire that God can deconstruct your belief systems about yourself, about him, so that the revelation of who he really is can change and transform our lives as we allow what he says to transform us. As our relationship and intimacy with God, as our Heavenly Father deepens in face-to-face innocence and is redefined by that engagement, so our biblical interpretation, using an unconditional love hermeneutical tool that will be sharpened by this ongoing process of experiential revelation. The more we experience face-to-face relationship with God, the more it will begin to change how we view what the Bible says and how we view how we should live as a believer and in relationship with God himself, and how we as sons of God will be revealed and unveiled when we fully know as we are known. There is power in testimony to inspire others to pursue God for themselves. So it's important that we begin to share the revelation that we have from our face-to-face encounters with God, so that others can truly realize the love of God and who God is as love. My journey to explore, discover, and function as a son in the spiritual realms has taken me to places beyond my wildest imagination, to do things beyond my wildest dreams. But in all of that and all of those amazing experiences, encounters, the most important central aspect to it has been having a revelation of who God really is as love, and therefore how God loves and how God sees the world and how God sees people and how that affects how we live in a world which desperately needs love. And hence the title for my testimony, My Journey Beyond, and the book that I wrote about that is based in these experiences and encounters, which has taken me beyond who I thought I knew God was to meet who he really is and therefore discover who I really am. So releasing my first book describes my journey will hopefully be a source of inspiration for others to engage God for themselves. Someone put this humorous picture on Facebook, My Journey Beyond, or To Infinity Beyond with Buzz Lightyear. And I'd encourage you, if you've not read it, to get a copy and give a copy to others who are on this journey, who you may think may benefit from my testimony of how God took me from a religious background to face-to-face relationship and beyond. Engaging the spiritual realms is both an exploration and an adventure, an amazing journey of discovery. Engaging these realms brings both relationship and responsibility. And out of the relationship will always come the responsibility of being a son of God. But that's not a heavy burden, a weight of responsibility. It's a joyous thing to be able to fulfill destiny and fulfill the purposes of God in relationship with him. Face-to-face intimacy with God leads us to discover our positions of heavenly governmental authority. So in 2018, my two major focuses were the Sons Arise conferences and intensives that we ran and the Restoration of All Things teaching series. And these two things work together in tandem. It's a passion of God's heart for his sons to arise and take their places of identity and authority in the heavenly realms so heaven can be manifest on earth. That is God's desire, so that things can be restored back to his original intention through his sons. God is passionately committed to the restoration of all things, and his desire is to reveal us as his manifested sons to answer creation's groan, the bondage to corruption and decay that creation is in. God desires to use us to bring about restoration. Romans 8:21 says that creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. An amazing statement. Therefore, we need to know who we are, our identity, our position, our authority, so that creation will respond to us and be set free. As we're free, creation will become free. As sons of God, we have a relationship that leads to responsibility. We need to take our heavenly positions, seated and enthroned, to legislate the kingdom in heaven, to manifest heaven on earth. What's the primary purpose of all the legislation we do? What are we looking to accomplish through what we're doing in the realms of heaven? The context of legislation should be the restoration of all things back to God's original desire and intent. We need to embark on a journey to discover the full meaning of the restoration of all things. Only really discovered when we engage heart to heart, cardiogenosis, the knowledge of the heart, knowing God's desires. We need to look at the scope of the restoration and the part we all have to play in the restoration as sons of God. I believe we're going to see love overcome the greatest darkness and a new era of light birthed across the earth. The end result, there will be no war, no sickness, a restored world. How can we know this? The future is already agreed, and when it comes, it will change quickly. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Isaiah 62:22. That's a quote from Justin Abraham, who has a passionate desire to see restoration. Acts 3:19. Therefore, repent and return, so the sins may be wiped away, in the order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of the restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. Now, this is the key scripture when it comes to restoration. Now, in some ways of looking at it, this has been fulfilled when Jesus came in AD 70 to end the old covenant and bring about the establishment of the new. But restoration of all things is really an ongoing process that will bring about God's original intent and purpose through this age into the ages to come. And it's so important that we embrace, well, although from one sense, the biblical prophetic things have been fulfilled, but that does not mean that we're not in a process of seeing the kingdom of God fill the earth, that we're seeing no end to the increase of his government and peace. That is an ongoing process of increasing unveiling and revelation and truth as God's heart and desire are restored for what his original intention and purpose for creation would be. So the real context for restoration is discovered in our sonship. God has given us the authority for creation as his sons in co-heirship to work and cooperate with him to see his desires fulfilled. If we're not restored, then creation will not be restored. The restoration of all things begins with Jesus working in us now, not in a future event of his coming one day in the future. Don't put off anything to the future that is supposed to be at work now. There is no written future, I believe. I believe God's desire for the future is within his heart. And as we discover his heart, we are responsible for outworking his heart to actually create his heart on earth as it is in heaven. So we are there to write history. We are there to be history makers, to establish the future out of God's heart, out of his eternal purpose and desire. We need intimacy of relationship to enable us to establish that and to engage it and to know it heart to heart. So we did Sons Arise conferences and intensives in 2018. It was so key. There were six conferences and things that we did. And one of the things that God showed me about these conferences linked back to a vision that I had, an encounter I had quite a number of years ago, in which I was taken out into the solar system to see the world, and I saw it in the context of the globe, and I held it in my hands figuratively, and as I was looking at it, I saw all these blue arcs of light begin to interact and connect all over the planet. And I was inspired by that and encouraged by that, and I realized that those were the connections that God was making between people, establishing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, establishing benches of three and his government on earth as it is in heaven, all over the earth. And I've had a privilege of being involved in making some of those connections, in being part of some of those connections, and seeing those connections fulfilled. And there are so many more things that God's doing in this light. And God spoke to me about his desire for his sons to arise. Sons arise is the cry from my heart to unveil, reveal, and release my children into their full and glorious identity and inheritance as mature sons of God, the Elohim, godlike ones. And this is God's desire, that we'll be like him. We are his sons. We are his children. We're supposed to be like him. He wants us to arise and find our places within that context. So we did three intensives and three conferences. They were all pretty intensive, really. Engaging the Father, engaging the dark cloud, sons invested and enthroned, living in dual realms, on earth as it is in heaven, deconstruction of the mind and expanding of consciousness. Now, all these are available. They're all mostly audio and video, PDFs, which you can follow these things through. They were all designed to build on upon each other. And as a result of doing this, God gave me some legislation to use for the Sons Arise events. Now, they're not limited to the Sons Arise events. They're legislation for sons to arise. Now, sons need to continually to arise to take their places in the realms of heaven. So I'm going to share this legislation and things God authorized me to do, and take it for yourself and apply it to your own life as authorization for you to come into that place of sonship and to arise and take your place in the heavenly realms as a son of God. You're authorized to awaken sonship at a new level of relationship and responsibility. You're authorized to call the eternal spirit hidden within my children to arise and shine. You're authorized to call for the light of the eternal spirit to burst forth from the darkness into the glorious light of their full inheritance. You're authorized to engage the Father's heart in the eternal now. You're authorized to unveil, reveal, and restore eternal memory, identity, and relationships, and destiny. Remember, we were here in eternity before we were here on earth. We had an eternal pre-existence before we came into this physical body and became a living soul and being. You're authorized to engage my children in the High Chancellor's houses. Now, that's a whole subject that we cover within the Engaging God program. You're authorized to activate my precepts, statutes, and laws as the foundation of sonship. Now, the precepts, statutes, and laws are God's heart, God's mind, and God's voice. How God sees things, how God's heart is in terms of love, and how that's outworked, not as laws to restrict, but empowerments, blessing to prosper and succeed. You're authorized to open the house of ordinances to reveal past, present purpose, to ignite passion and zeal for creation and its freedom. You're authorized to open the house of mantles, scrolls, and commissioning to restore the callings and positions of heavenly governmental authority for my sons. You're authorized to call forth the roles of chancellors, judges, ambassadors, magistrates, scribes, oracles, legislators, counselors, ministers, elders, lights, fragrances, harmonies, frequencies, doors, matrices, planners, architects, designers, artists, musicians, etc., etc., etc. There are so many roles that we are being called to fulfill in the realms of the heavenlies, beyond my possibility to imagine or think. And as I've engaging the heavenly realms, I've discovered so many different roles, so many different ways that God is calling us into sonship. You're authorized to call and prepare my children for their roles as sons, with authority to restore their heritage, free their generational family lines and genealogies with the ministry of reconciliation. You're authorized to unveil the call for my sons to arise and engage beyond the limitations of the imagination of this age. You are authorized to unveil and reveal the dimensions and domains that exist beyond the limitations of earthbound consciousness to my sons. There is way more out there beyond what you can imagine or think. You're authorized to open the possibilities that exist beyond, so that my sons can arise, take their places and positions within the councils and assemblies of the dimensions that are preparing the ages to come. Now, a lot of these statements require meditation. For you to engage in them, you need to engage them for yourself. Take that statement back and ask God to unveil what it means for you to take your place within the councils and assemblies of the dimensions that are preparing the ages to come. There is a role that we have to play, not just as co-heirs, but beyond that. You're authorized to release the sound of my heart as the Father beating with my deepest desires to inspire my children to shake off the shackles of their earthbound existence and arise as sons to the glorious liberty of their eternal destinies as co-creators. See, God wants to take us beyond being co-heirs to co-creators. Sons Arise is the cry from the Father's heart to unveil, reveal, and release his children into their full and glorious identity and inheritance as mature sons of God, the Elohim, godlike ones. This is God's desire. This is God's desire for each of his children, those who know him now, those who do not yet know him but will know him. God's desire is that all his children would come back into a restored relationship of face-to-face innocence with him. I call, and this is my response to that legislation and the authority that that legislation gave me. And whenever you're given legislation, use it. Use it as the foundation that inspires your spirit to make declarations and decrees. So I made these declarations and decrees based on the revelation that I was given. I call for the awakening of sonship at a new level of relationship and responsibility. I call the eternal spirit hidden within God's children to arise and shine. Now I want you to hear this call. I encourage you to hear this call, to embrace this call. And as I share this, just close your eyes. I call for the awakening of sonship at a new level of relationship and responsibility. Let that frequency go forth. I call the eternal spirit hidden within God's children to arise and shine. I call for the light of the eternal spirit of God's children to burst forth from the darkness into the glorious light of their full inheritance. I call for the opening of the veil between time and eternity to reveal the Father's heart in the eternal now. I call for the unveiling, revealing, and restoration of eternal memory, eternal identity, eternal relationship, and destiny. I call for the release of the sound of the Father's heart, beating with his deepest desire. To inspire God's children to shake off the shackles of their earthbound existence and arise as sons to the glorious liberty of their eternal destiny as co-creators. I call for an open heaven environment where God's children can hear the cry from the Father's heart to unveil, to reveal, and release them into their full glorious identity as mature sons of God, the Elohim. I call for the gathering angels to be released to remove all obstacles and stumbling blocks from those who willingly open their hearts and minds to the light and fire of God's eyes. I call for the sound of many waters to release the call to destiny to resonate within the hearts and minds of God's children. Let it resonate. Let the call, the sound of many waters, the sound of God's voice, I call for the hearts of God's children to be turned back towards their Heavenly Father for restoration of relationship and responsibility. I call for the love bombs of heaven to explode with revelation of the depth of the Father's love for His children over the Sons of Rise environment, over the Joshua generation, over those who God is reaching out and calling. Where anyone is watching this, let those love bombs of heaven explode. Let the Father's love explode. Let the truth explode. Let it explode in your spirit, explode in your mind. Calling you into sonship. I call for the lightning bolts of heavenly revelation to penetrate the hearts and minds of those who need the destruction of fortresses, strongholds, and protection mechanisms to reveal their hidden father wounds and scars so that they can be healed. Let this healing frequency go forth. Let the scars of father wounds be removed as the love of God is poured like a healing balm into your hearts. I call for the freedom portal to be opened and sentinel angels to permit access to the legions of the angelic host who bear the gifts of destiny's call to sonship. Release the angelic hosts with sonship to call those out of the darkness into the light. I call for an increase in the levels of power and presence so it becomes manifested glory during this season of new intensity, an intensity of love. I call for the suspension of all barriers of time and space, for all to experience the atmosphere during the activations and the revelation and the encounters under an open heaven. For all who are watching this, who will watch it, let this truth, let this revelation go forth. Let the sons of God arise and take their places within the realms of heaven. Let the sound of heaven call them out of darkness into light, out of the wilderness to cross over into their inheritance. Let the frequency of God's voice engage you, engage your spirit, calling you to arise and take your place as sons of God within the realms of heaven, and to take your places on earth, revealed, manifested sons of God, to answer creation's groan. Let this frequency, let this call penetrate, resonate within your spirit, resonate within your soul, calling you forth to engage your eternal destiny. Now, I'd encourage you to embrace the fullness of what God has been doing, what he is doing. Embrace that fullness. The Sons Arise mandate is to equip God's children to arise and take their places as sons in heaven and on earth, both relationally and responsibly. Our mandate is to equip the sons of God to manifest heaven on earth. So each of the conferences and intention intensives built upon each other, so that in the end, each person will be able to know more of their eternal identity, position, and governmental authority, and be able to discover and fulfill their destiny. The three conferences actually followed a pattern, beginning with identity, then position, and finally purpose. The three intensives were there to turbocharge the conferences for those who wanted to be proactive in accelerating the process. Ultimately, our mandate and goal is to see the sons of God answering creation's cry. It's groaning for freedom by taking their multidimensional places in the heavenly realms to establish heaven on earth through new order ecclesia and embassies of heaven. Through the intimacy of a deeper relationship with the Father, we will embrace our destinies as sons to answer the groan of all creation by revealing the true nature of God and the true essence of love expressed in our glorious freedom. So here are some legislative decrees for sons to arise. I call upon the Father to open our hearts and minds to see areas of blind self. Now again, I would encourage you to close your eyes and just embrace these declarations and decrees. I call upon the Father to open our hearts and minds to see blind self areas of independence where our soul's needs for affirmation are being met outside the true love within the relationship of I Am. Let him open your heart, open your mind. I call for the light to shine into this darkness, to reveal the hidden motives of our hearts. I call for the law of the removal of religious restrictions to be enacted, to lift the veils of blindness off the eyes of all engaging and connecting. I call upon you, Jesus, as our husband, to demonstrate your true love for us and reveal the true nature of our salvation, reconciliation, restoration, and redemption from our fallen, lost state of identity. And unveil the way, truth, and the life for us, to us, by bringing us into the Father's arms of love. Let him take you into the Father's arms of love right now. Just be carried away in this resonant frequency of love, into the Father's embrace. Let him embrace you with deep, deep love and affection, compassion. Let his grace and mercy flow over you. I call upon you, Father, as the lover of our souls, to reveal your true essence in deeper love, to take us to a new level of experiencing your true nature and character, and to draw us into your heart of love. I call upon you, Father, to open up eternity to all your children, to know themselves at a deeper level, as they gaze into the mirror of your smiling face, look into his face, smiling. As they look deep into your eyes and experience love's consuming, passionate fire, Look into the fire of his eyes. I call upon you, Father, to draw us deeper into your love and to call deep from within your true essence to the deepest parts of our fragmented souls. Calling to the deepest parts of our fragmented souls to reach the most traumatized, separated, and fearful parts of us, drawing them into wholeness and into sonship. Wholeness, sonship. Healing for the fragmented heart. Free from fear. I call upon you as our loving Father to expose and reveal all our protection, defense, and coping mechanisms. Revealing all the barriers and walls that have imprisoned us, and smash and tear down and demolish all that separates us from your love and our true identity as your sons. As our loving Father, break down those barriers, penetrate those walls. I call upon you as our loving Father to heal our brokenness by pouring out love's lavish, rich, healing oil and releasing the sounds and fragrances and frequencies of your power and presence to bring us into the true rest of wholeness and peace. I call upon you, Father, to reveal the adoption into your family, to all of our fragmented souls, broken parts, calling into our brokenness, calling to our fragmented parts, welcoming them to reintegrate and restore back to the oneness of our origin within your heart. I call upon you, Father, to restore us, to restore your children back to the image of our true sonship, to reconnect us with your original desires, thoughts, and intentions for our sonship and its destiny. I call upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to deliver us from our orphan spirits and welcome us deeper and deeper within the circle of your love, to dance with the lover of our souls. Dance with him. Dance with him within the circle of the dance, within the perichoresis, entwined with Father, Son, and Spirit. I call upon you, Father, to affirm us as your beloved sons. Cocoon us within your amazing love for us, and as our dad, reveal the height and the length and the breadth and the depth of your love, dimensionally in heaven and on earth. I thank you for being the best dad in the whole of creation, for being all that we could ever want or need. I thank you for being lavish, abundantly overflowing with new covenant love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and faithfulness. Let the sound of God's voice, let the sound of love fill you, free you, deliver you, empower you, bless you to arise and take your place as sons of God, seated in the heavenly realms. Resonate with this call, with the sound of the Father's voice, the sound of many waters. Now, we cannot be sons without a father. We need a father relationship. Sonship is the state of being included in the circle of relationship that is Father, Son, and Spirit. Sonship is the state of being reconnected to the true identity of God's original intention for our identity and destiny. Deeper into intimacy with God, deeper into Father God himself, deeper into the truth, Jesus himself, deeper into the revelation of the Spirit of Truth himself, higher into the creative light realms, into creative light, into the heart and mind of God outside of time and space in the eternal now. God is calling his children, his sons, to come out of the wilderness. God is calling his sons to cross over into their supernatural inheritance beyond the veil. God is calling his sons into deeper levels of intimacy. God is calling us to know him by personal experience in face-to-face innocence. Now, we can engage the Father in four different dimensions. The first dimension, engaging in the earthly physical realm, but in the spiritual atmosphere and open heaven. We can live under an open heaven. God wants to meet us here. Secondly, we can engage within our own spirit and within our own hearts, which are spiritual dimensions and places of an encounter where we can engage the Father and it can enhance and reveal our sonship. Thirdly, engaged in the heavenly realms, in the Father's garden, the throne of grace, so many different places of engaging with the Father in a dimension which is beyond what we can just experience here. And fourthly, engaging God's heart and mind in eternity, outside of the concepts of time and space, in the non-linearity of the eternal now. We can engage God there. God welcomes us and invites us to engage him as his children, with him as our dad. Embrace it. Pursue it. Those four levels of engagement create a window where eternity, what was before there was, can manifest here and now to create what will be. So the end and the beginning will be in agreement. And so history will be aligned with the heart of the Father. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, perfect relationship, love, joy, and peace perfectly expressed, engaging this transform my experience, my understanding, and outworking of true love. By engaging that relationship, it totally changed my whole perception of who God is and who I am. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In the Mirror Bible, to go back to the very beginning is to find the Word already present there, face to face with God. The Word is I am. God's eloquence echoes and concludes in him. The Word equals God. When we engage, there is no separation between Father, Son, and Spirit. There is this unity of relationship and conversation that we're included in. Acts 3:19 says, therefore, repent and return. Now again, remember, repent is not being sorry for what you've done wrong. It's coming into a change of mind agreement So agreeing with God about your relationship with him in face-to-face innocence, according to Acts, according to Ephesians 1:4, and return, come back to that relationship so that the sins, now this is the sin that Adam drew us into, that place of do it yourself, following our own path, may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So it's not the coming of the Lord in the future. This is the presence of the Lord now. And that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you. All renewal and restoration comes from the presence of the Lord, which inevitably brings refreshing. So what is that refreshing? What is the root meaning of refreshing? Refreshing, anap, psychis, properly, when it says properly in Strong's, it means this is what it really means. Breathe easily again. Hence, refreshing, cooling, or reviving with fresh air, a recovery of breath, a refreshing. So what is this refreshing? Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And what did Adam see when he first opened his eyes? The face of God, face to face. He had the life of God breathed into him. And what did he do? Breathe that life out and breathe that life in. That is the rhythm of life. Yod, hey, vav, hey. Now, God wants to restore that. That's what refreshing is, a restoration of breath. So in John 20:22, when Jesus was resurrected on the resurrection day, what did Jesus do? He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So God has breathed into us his life again, and he wants us to continue to breathe that life, to receive that essence, to be continually refreshed by drawing from that life, from drawing from the rivers of living water, from the fountain that's within us. Different analogies, but basically the same thing. We draw from the heavenly life that's flowing in the river of life. We breathe in that life, a restoration, a refreshing from his presence. And his presence is in us and we are in him. Restored relationship, identity and conditions for face-to-face refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Breathe in. Even now, close your eyes and breathe in. And breathe out and breathe in. So breathe in. Now express out. Yod. And breathe in. Hey. And breathe out. Vav. And breathe in. And breathe out, yo. This is the rhythm of life, the very name of God. This refreshing face-to-face relationship, restored walking relationship with the Father's presence. That's refreshing. Restoration of what was in the beginning on earth. But there is more that we're restored to that goes beyond what we were here on earth, to what we should have been on here on earth, but also back to what we had in eternity within the Father's heart. I found this interesting picture. It says, Jesus is not a window showing us who we can become. He's a mirror showing us who we already are. And when we see in that mirror the true reflection of who God sees us, we can become like that which we behold, and we can only become what we behold in him, or we'll continue to be conformed to the world that we're looking at. Let's start looking into his face. This is what the Father said to me. Son, it's important that my children know the difference between knowing about me and being fathered by me. Restoring relationship is only the beginning, as being fathered is a deeper, more intimate relationship. My desire is to share my heart, my thoughts, and to show my children my ways, not just my works. I will include my children in the councils and assemblies of my abode, not just reveal my domain when they reach the higher levels of maturity. We need to mature in the Father's love and in our identity as sons, which will unveil those positions within the councils and assemblies of heaven. My deepest desire is for my children to return to the place of their conception within the recesses of my heart. I desire that they truly know me and have a deep revelation of who they are as my sons, heirs and inheritors of all that I have created for them and all that I have created them for. Now just embrace that. Embrace that desire and experience it. I desire that they truly know me and have a deeper revelation of who they are as my sons, heirs and inheritors of all that I have created for them and all that I have created them for. Embrace that, meditate on it, let that be something in 2019, which is your testimony of experiencing that revelatory encounter with the Father. My sons were conceived to be co-creators, not just co-heirs, as they are all made in our image, endued with the abilities of sonship. I desire to restore everything, including their identity, position, authority, abilities, knowledge, wisdom, relationship, and connection to the created order. Son, I desire to remove the limitations of the finite, the mortal, the nature of your minds, and restore the limitlessness of your transcendent and infinite origins. Embrace that. Meditate on it. Allow him to expand your consciousness of who you believe you are and who you know yourself to be and who he is. The restoration of all things is but the beginning, not the end, and includes your consciousness so that you can continue to expand and not be contained to the restoration of what was, but be free to be all that you are capable of being. Son, my mind is limitless and infinite, and we designed our children in our image to be like us, relational beings of limitless potential. We need to fully embrace and experience the reality of this truth. Meditate on it, engage him for it. Let 2019 be your time that you will have a testimony of engaging your limitless potential. Son, the limited, restricted, finite, mortal existence experienced by all my children was never our intention, but was the choice of mankind once it left the tree of life for the tree existence of self-limitations, the DIY tree existence of self-limitations. Son, the potential possibilities are limitless for restored mind when body, soul, and spirit are in harmony with each other and with the circle of our loving dance. Restoration is not just for external that can be seen, but also for all that cannot be seen and all that is within. The full scope of restoration cannot be grasped by an unrenewed mind, but nevertheless, the reality still exists beyond the wildest dreams of the most creative minds. Eyes capable of seeing all the wavelengths of light, ears capable of hearing all the wavelengths of sound, bodies capable of multidimensional travel and existence, minds capable of creative expression, bodies capable of instantaneous reparation. Beyond the works of Jesus to the greater works, Jesus walked on water, walked through things, became invisible, created and manipulated matter, knew the thoughts and intentions of people's hearts. Telepathic communication, telekinetic, transmutational power, creative thought, translation, bilocation, pre- and post-cognition, time travel. These are what sons are designed for. The Father desires to restore all these things and more. Are we willing to go through the process of transformation necessary? That is our choice. Ultimately, our mandate and goal is to see the sons of God answering creation's cry. This is the key of all we've been doing in helping sons to arise, to embrace creation's groaning for freedom by taking your multidimensional places in the heavenly realms to establish heaven on earth through new order ecclesias and embassies of heaven. God is calling the sons of God to arise. Are you going to respond? Are you willing to respond? Are you willing to embrace and pursue your position of rising and shining as sons of God in heaven and on earth. Again, I'd encourage you just to close your eyes. Standing, sitting, kneeling, wherever you are, lying under an open heaven. Allow the Father to release his acceptance, to release his affirmation, approval, recognition, recommendation, commendation, blessing, endorsement, and validation of your sonship. So under that open heaven, hear the Father call to you. Son, I call your spirit to attention. Spirit, listen as a true son. I call forth your identity as a son, part of the Joshua generation, the order of Melchizedek. I call forth your destiny to manifest God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I call forth your destiny to fill the earth with God's glory. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as lords to administer God's rule on earth as it is in heaven. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as kings to have charge over God's heavenly courts. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as sons to stand in my presence and be displayed on the earth. I call forth your identity, destiny, and authority as sons to answer the groan of creation and restore to it to original condition and purpose. I call forth the Joshua generation to rise up, take possession of their inheritance. Arise and shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Sons, arise, sons, arise, sons, arise. You are my beloved sons, in whom my soul delights, and I am well pleased with you. Receive my acceptance, affirmation, approval, recognition, recommendation, commendation, blessing, endorsement, validation. I am. Speak words of remembrance from my eternal heart. Heart to heart, heart to heart, let his heart embrace you, empower you, let the frequency of the sound of his heart resonate with you, calling you into sonship. Let the sons of God arise, let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God arise. Let the sons of God